Bobrovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. 800-222-5222 is the phone number. If you'd like to be on the program, sam@samnation.com, the email. And the vice president right now is speaking at the rally in Phoenix, waiting for the president to come on. And we'll periodically check in on that as it unfolds live here tonight. Now, this rally reminds me of 2 years back, a very important moment. Now, if you'll recall, 2 years ago, what was that, August 2015, the end of August 2015, we were... Wow, the primary was just, they were just beginning. This was before this crazy political world blew up the way it has. And I remember the very first Trump rally. There was one in Arizona and then followed very closely by one in Nevada. And so here, 2 years later, he's back in Phoenix. But I remember that very first rally. And I remember looking and I watched and I was just so blown away because Trump was out there saying something completely different that no candidate was saying in 2015, that no candidate was saying 4 years earlier or 8 years earlier. It was something totally different. He was calling out illegal immigration. He was calling out the causes for economic collapse. He was laying. He was just being honest. He was using plain speak, and it was incredibly compelling. In fact, I remember it was so compelling that I went to a now famous lunch. I think it was around Labor Day, and I said, I think this guy can win. I said, no chance, Sam. There's no way. I think he can win. You've got to see him. You've got to see what he's saying. This message is connecting with people. Of course, we know how that turned out. And 2 years later, here he is in the White House. Now, I bring all this up. It's important because what are we talking about today? The conventional wisdom is for Trump not to go out there and not to speak. For Trump to, and they're still saying it, they're still using this phrase, conventional wisdom again, lots of people in the media, lots of people in the political class saying, act presidential. So we're going to see what happens. And Trump is heading on stage right now, going to kind of follow it here as it unfolds. But I think the last thing that Trump needs to do is listen to people like Mitch McConnell. Did you see this in the news? Mitch McConnell apparently, now he's the Senate Majority Leader. He's the guy that Trump needs to get stuff done in the Senate, right? This guy's got the keys to the Senate. And no bill can go through the Congress without getting approved, getting a stamp of approval from the Senate. And the Republicans hold a majority there. So in theory, things can get done. But it's well publicized that Mitch McConnell does not like Trump. And now apparently the New York Times is reporting that Mitch McConnell has a feud. He really doesn't like the Trumpster. And the Times is reporting that the pair haven't spoken for weeks. And privately, McConnell has said, and this is the most damning thing, and it's been spreading like wildfire, that McConnell doesn't know if Trump can even salvage his presidency. Now, you know what the real deal here is? Do you have any idea? I know we don't take a lot of stock in polls, but McConnell's going to be up for re-election. He's a senator out of Kentucky. You want to guess what his approval rating is or what his poll numbers are right now? In Kentucky, in his home state, 18%. And this guy is lecturing Trump on whether or not he thinks he can survive the presidency. Because the real scoop here is Trump has got an ability to communicate with the public. Now, the words he's using, the message that he has, it may not be one that sells in Santa Monica. It may not be one that sells in L.A., San Francisco, Manhattan. But it's a message that was absolutely from the get-go. And I remember hearing it. It was so clear to me 2 years back. It was a message that the flyover country, the rest of America, was dying to hear. They wanted a real politician, a real guy speaking, not a politician. This is why you've got a guy, still to this day, right, as people are predicting that Trump is going to be down and out in minutes, that Trump is a dead duck, right? He's basically, the presidency is a carcass on its way out. You've got a screwball like Kid Rock, who actually, depending on the poll that you look at, is more popular than a sitting U.S. senator. You've heard about this, right? The Kid Rock, the musician. His real name is Robert Ritchie. And he's up in the polls, and he hasn't even really formally announced that he's running. Why is that? And how does this matter to Trump? Easy. People do not want inside the Beltway people. They are sick and tired of politics as usual. They look at a guy like Trump and they'll forgive him his faults because for years they voted one party or they voted the other party. And you know what? Let's take Trump out of the equation for a minute. Are you really happy voting for Republicans? Are you really happy voting for Democrats? What has it given us? I look up at the TV and I see the Bushes cavorting with the Clintons and the Clintons cavorting with the Bushes. And it's all, to me, it's just all a game. It's all a charade. One side pretends to be liberal. The other side pretends to be conservative. But at the end of the day, what's it all about? It's just about politics, about power, about making it in the political world, climbing that ladder. You start out as a mayor somewhere. You start out as a congressman, or you start out in the Senate, or you governor, and then you work your way to the White House, and that's the pinnacle of the career. And da, da, da. I mean, it used to be that politics was something you did as a second act after achieving a real result in your life. It used to be a retirement gig for people who had accomplished something. It was a second act for people who wanted to give back. And instead, it's turned into this career field. And if you look at the policies the Democrats push versus the ones Republicans push, I mean, there's more similarities there than differences. And they look after their own. So in this entire conversation here about Trump's likelihood of survival, and he's speaking right now in Arizona, and he'll probably be speaking for some time. We're gonna cut through to some of the neat important bits of it here. I'll give you some of the updates as the hour unfolds. But one thing that is blows my mind is all this really crappy advice from the left, from the right, from everybody saying act more presidential, do this, do that, be this, be that. And at the end of the day, these are all people that want Trump to fail. Don't forget it. You're right. No. See, this is the misconception, right? That when Trump gets criticized by members of his own party, the New York Times and the Washington Post put that up as some sort of canary in the mine moment where the canary's falling over dead because Trump's down and out. He's getting massacred by his own party. And I don't read it that way at all. Neither side wants Trump to succeed because to them, Trump is an amateur. They're the ones that put in the years of chicken dinners. They're the ones that put in time working as aldermen in some crappy local government. They're the ones that had to be, run for re-election every 2 years in Congress and then get a governorship. And all of a sudden, Trump comes along. and bypasses all of them, 16 candidates in the Republican Party, three in the Democratic Party, bypasses them all and steals the most coveted job, the presidency? You don't do that. It doesn't work that way. And so they're mad as hell about it. And the last thing that Mitch McConnell, the last thing that Paul Ryan, the last thing that any Republican or any Democrat wants is to have Trump succeed at this. Because what happens then? It shows, well, it creates an opening for non-professional politicians. And that's where a lot of these stories are. He needs to act more this. He needs to be more presidential. He needs to fill in the blank. This is just beneath us. I don't think Trump can succeed. Well, try this on, Mitch McConnell. Your reelection looks like it's not in good shape because at some point the American public that voted for Trump liked what he had to say. And it really doesn't matter the package that it came in. People expect you to get stuff done. There's a great example of this, by the way. Just if you're following the news about the stock market, it's gone up, it's gone down, it's gone up again, it's gone down. Do you know what it's mirroring? It's actually mirroring the betting odds for the likelihood of tax reform to pass. The stock market is actually reacting to a perceived likelihood that Trump is successful in achieving tax reform. And by the way, it's not even, they don't even care what kind of tax reform, any kind of tax reform. It's like anything's better than what we've got now. Anything that Trump and his team will put in, the betting smart people in the room are saying anything that comes in, we need anything is better than what we've got currently. And those odds go up and down based on the perceived likelihood of it happening. Now, who is the obstacle to it? It's not Trump. It's Congress. And who controls Congress? These self-interested, pompous Republicans. These losers. And they're the ones who eventually are going to be up for re-election. They're the ones whose head will be on the chopping block. They're the ones who eventually will have to answer to the public. The public that wants stuff done on Obamacare, on regulation, on immigration, that want tax reform, that want less taxes, that want a less structured and less onerous tax code. These are real things. And the marketplace is only relevant in this discussion to the extent that it reflects market sentiments, that it gives us an idea of the mood, of the desire out there for having something achieved and something done. So I think it's important to go back in time and look back 2 years. So we've had 2 years now, give or take a week, of Trump rallies. This rally today is nothing new. There's probably nothing earth-shaking that will come out of it. And tomorrow we'll go through all the sound clips and anything that's super relevant. We'll get into depth on it. But I don't necessarily think that anything particularly terrific comes out of this. I mean, it's Trump talking but look at how many people are in there. I'm seeing that he's got a crowd. And he's got a crowd in an important place. And the reason Arizona, he was the first candidate to go to Arizona and talk about immigration. The left, the political establishment, the blabbers on, you know, in the media, they all want to talk about immigration as a racial issue, he's a racist, of course. Yeah, he's a racist. He's against illegal immigration. It makes him a racist. And they want to dismiss it like that. There are people that care about this. And the longer that politicians like, and you heard, when we come back, I'll talk a little bit about this Jeff Flake thing. Because he is the senator in Arizona that's been a thorn in Trump's side. And we'll see today what he says there about Jeff Flake. Because there's, you know, widespread speculation that Trump's going to really kind of try to give his opponent a leg up and try to unseat him. probably one of the most powerful tools that Trump has to go after individual congressmen and senators who are obstructing his agenda, is to threaten them with coming to their hometown, bringing this rally machine into their backyard and campaigning against them. And I have some thoughts on that, certainly, to the extent that it's effective, and then in ways it can backfire, certainly. But the long and the short of this is what he does, and he does it well. He's been doing it well for 2 years, and he needs to keep it up, because this is a president directly communicating with his people. He may not be speaking to you. It may not be something that resonates with you, but it's an extremely successful communication strategy, and it worked from the get-go. All right, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation. Don't go anywhere. Back right after this.
Talk Radio.
KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Of interest, one of the invocations at the Trump rally tonight, was offered by Alveda King, who is the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King and a noted Trump supporter. She gave one heck of a long prayer, but I just think it's, you know, of course, it's interesting, right? I love this. So right now he's talking about Charlottesville and about how he, you know, is again condemning, you know, racists and bigots and the KKK and everything. I'm blown away that it's still an issue. It's still an issue because I promise you this. The establishment politicians they will take any issue they can that destabilizes his president. That's it. It's all they want to do. They want Trump desperately to fail. And as I last segment I was mentioning, the issue here is no one wants, no professional politician wants an amateur to come along to steal the crown jewel of anyone's political career, which is the presidency, to come in out of the ether, seize the presidency, and get away with it. The political class, they want Trump to fail. They want him to be booted from office. They want him to hang his head in disgrace. They want him to leave Washington with his tail tucked between his legs. They don't even want him to carry out and succeed in this term. And I think that it would be just as vitriolic and you would see probably as much backbiting from the Democrats if it was a guy that ran as a Democrat but still an outsider. I think that the best example also I have here is if you took some of Trump's positions and you removed the name Trump, you took the Trump brand out of the equation. A lot of it is just pretty dang reasonable and not particularly conservative. I say this to a lot of my liberal friends. I say, well, back up here. I mean, a lot of what Trump is saying, I don't particularly like. I mean, when you start getting into economic populism and breaking up monopolies, I mean, I'm a libertarian. I think Amazon's got a perfectly legitimate right to exist, for example. I mean, if they build the best mousetrap, let them. I don't think the government has a role in breaking that apart and I don't know, scaling them back down for the purposes of, you know, of loosening up a monopoly. I'm principally opposed to that. In a lot of respects, Trump sounds like you're a pretty solid Democrat. But the Democrats don't want any part of it. They don't want any part of it no more than the Republicans do. Mentioning the earlier revelation here that Senate leader, Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is apparently so frustrated with Trump and their relationship, he doesn't even know if Trump can salvage his presidency. And he's got an 18% approval rating going into a reelection campaign. This is a guy who's been in the Senate since the beginning of time. He's literally a political dinosaur. He's Mr. Swamp. And the problem is right now people don't want any part of it. I mentioned Kid Rock. Why Kid Rock? Okay, so the guy's a singer. I don't really know his music. Not my cup of tea. But at any rate, he's talking about running for real for election and for the Senate in Michigan. And he's a prominent Trump supporter. And when we come back, I want to give you a little vignette, a little example of something that he said at a concert recently. It's actually very telling. The crowd went wild. It wasn't a political gathering at all. It was just a Kid Rock concert. And he said something. The crowd went wild. And it has to do with sports. Music, sports, crowd goes wild. This should be a topic that I have nothing to say about because, of course, music and sports are not my milieu, so to speak. But I want to tell you about this. It's important. Because it is a bellwether for what is going on politically in this country that the media, that the left, and even the right are totally deaf to. They're totally deaf. They still don't hear it. They don't understand what is going on. Okay, we've got Rob Marenko up with the news next. Don't go anywhere. Back after this.
Talk Radio 790.
AABC.
Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, back here live at the Sweet James Studios in an undisclosed location on the right side of the orange curtain. Talk Radio 790 KBC. 1-800-222-5222 is the number if you'd like to be on the program tonight. Sam@samnation.com is the email. Now, right before the break, I was mentioning Kid Rock. He had a concert at the Iowa State Fair. And in this concert, he in between songs, he basically stopped everything and he shouted out. I don't know what the context for this was, okay? But he basically shouted an obscenity followed by Colin Kaepernick. Now, you know he's the former 49ers football player who would always take a knee and refuse to stand for the national anthem. And he's kind of a hero, kind of a darling of this social movement out there, you know, Black Lives Matter and these culture warriors, social justice warriors and snowflakes and liberals and everybody out there who think that this country is such a horrible, racist, terrible place. Who, like so many people out there, are so quick to call out Nazi, Klan member, and throw these words, these very, very, very intense labels around. Who think most cops show up to work and say, who are we gonna kill today? There's so many people on the left that really believe that. And they're so wrapped up in it and all the injustices, all the perceived injustices of this country. And these are the same people that looked at Trump's presidency or candidacy, I should say, and said, no chance, you know, he's no chance. And they look at this Kid Rock guy and go, oh, he's running for the Senate. What a joke. In that one statement, trust me on this, in that one statement, well, first of all, the crowd went wild. But with those two, you know, three words, right? F. Colin Kaepernick. What did he do? He basically summed up a very visceral reaction to this hate on America nonsense that the left is embracing. We got mobs tearing down statues. We've got people going nuts in the street. We've got people yelling, you know, kill the cops, pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon. We've got some really vile stuff going on. We've got Antifa protesters. You want to talk Nazis and fascists? These anti-fascists roaming the streets masked, showing up with clubs, beating up people who are expressing their opinion. I mean, look, it's nuts. And the majority of Americans outside of metropolitan areas, outside of liberal enclaves, are totally not okay with it. What's the viewership? What's happening to the NFL? Have you been following this? And the numbers are way down people don't want to tune in to the NFL embracing clowns like Colin Kaepernick disrespecting this country. Frankly, people tune into the NFL to get away from politics. And part of sports, part of the NFL is beer, football, America. I mean, I don't know, maybe not necessarily in that order. What do I know? But I will tell you that this kind of basic I love America message sells. You remember, speaking of rallies, you know how Trump would run up in one of those rallies. He was mocked for this. He ran up in one of those rallies and hugged the American flag. There's a flag on a flagstaff right there on the stage, and he took one of the flags and he just hugs it. We had 8 years of Barack Obama crapping on this country every time he got a chance. Well, you know, we're not quite the just country that we think we are. We're not quite the great, you know, country that people say we are. I mean, over and over and over again, nobody wants that. So to the extent that the Democratic Party, the left, the media, and everybody that is fighting Trump keeps embracing this nonsense and Black Lives Matter and Antifa and Colin Kaepernick with his nonsense protest, to the extent that they keep doing this, they're not gonna win an election for dog catcher. It's not gonna happen, let alone the presidency in 2020. All right, we'll get to Jeff Flake. This is interesting, and it is going down. We'll see what happens here. I'll tell you a little bit about this when we get back. Don't go anywhere.
Talk Radio. 790.
KABC.
Sam Rejofsky, what do you do if you get into a car accident? Well, first pull over to a safe place, call the police, whatever you need to do to be safe. But after that, that's when the real nightmare begins. You know, it's once you have to start dealing with the insurance company and all of their nonsense, that's when things really can go sideways. Don't let it happen. Don't even go there. Don't try to do it on your own. It's not a do-it-yourself project. Call attorney Sweet James Bergner and put a fighter in your corner. You want to pick somebody, right, that knows what they're doing, that's done it before, that's helped lots and lots of people, literally thousands of clients. That's who you want handling your case. All right? Don't go to your brother-in-law. Don't ask your mom for help. Don't try doing it yourself. And look, maybe you've got a lawyer right now who's not that good or not returning your phone calls or just maybe isn't sweet enough. Yeah, that's true. Can happen. Call Sweet James Bergner. Have him take over your case. He'll take care of everything and make sure that you get the results that you deserve. He's got an easy number. You got to keep this in your hip pocket. You always want to be that guy that knows somebody, right? That has the right person for the job. Well, that guy's Sweet James Bergner. 1-800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021. Or visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Nation, we are back following the president's remarks today in Arizona and Phoenix. I was quickly reviewing some things. Apparently, this is actually the site, the exact arena where Trump held his very first rally, the one I was mentioning in the start of our program this hour, that I remember. I remember watching it. I remember thinking, dang, this guy has something. And I was never a Trump fan before. I remember the last few times that he dipped his toes in. To the primaries, always kind of talking, maybe I'm going to run, maybe not. I always thought it was showmanship. I just thought he wanted to plug his program, his show, whatever he had, and just was looking to get some attention on him. So I this was the time when he made the announcement. He rode down the escalator, made it official, filed the paperwork, and then he had a rally. I don't think it is accidental that the rally is occurring in Arizona, and that's because both of Arizona senators are colossal pains in Trump's money. Number one pain is none other than Senator McCain. We're going to leave that one alone there for a minute. Just let it sit. The other senator is Jeff Flake, who was a long-term congressman from Arizona. In fact, a good friend of mine worked for him for a number of years. I tease him about it mercilessly because so Jeff Flake is making the rounds right now. I think he's writing some type of book, is what I hear. He's just trashing Trump every turn he can. And he is exactly the prototype of a loser Republican. Watch, I'm going to start to get animated here. I'm going to apologize in advance. He is exactly the type of Republican GOP politician that is polished, that is pretty. I mean, he looks good. You know, he's got that really waspy look. But he capitulates on every issue. What has he done? Arizona is a border state that is getting overrun, literally killed by illegal immigration. What has he done for Arizona? Nothing. He is the first site of any type of conflict, of any type of confrontation. Flake runs for the hills. What a perfect name, right? Flake. I'm a flake. Yeah, should be like the easiest campaign slogan to run against this clown. But Trump is the anti-flake. Trump is a guy, and again, if you don't like him, I mean, the guy doubles down. He's not letting anybody put him into this ridiculous place that the left always wants to put Republicans. Oh, you're a racist. You're a bigot. You're a homophobe. You're X, Y, and Z. And immediately, what do Republicans do? They play this game. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm condemning everything. No, 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 no. That's the standard gig. And that's what Flake does. And so Flake is distancing himself from the president, saying he refuses to work with him. And Trump is bringing his Trump show, his rally, right into Flake's backyard. And it's a show of force, regardless if Trump mentions unseating Flake and working with his primary opponent. Regardless if Trump says that, just showing up is the equivalent of bringing over a giant aircraft carrier to the doorstep of North Korea, saying, here I am, I'm ready to go. Okay, don't go anywhere. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, back right after this.
Talk Radio 790.
KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation. All right, rounding out the hour here live, we're talking about the Trump rally that is presently underway in Phoenix, Arizona. President Donald Trump just mentioned Sheriff Joe Arpaio. You know, there was some speculation that Trump would pardon Sheriff Joe. You know, he got set up with those nonsense charges, charged with the wrong offense, actually. It turned out that he couldn't have a jury trial. Had a federal judge who was a Democrat appointee convict him. Really, really nasty, shoddy stuff. So Trump just moments ago addressed the crowd on the Arpaio issue and said, what do you guys think of Sheriff Joe? And the crowd went wild. We love him. We love him. He said, well, I'm not going to pardon him tonight, but I have a prediction. Sheriff Joe is going to be just fine. So that probably means that something is in the works to clear that up. Not going to happen today, but it's not a no. So we'll see. We'll follow that as it happens. The big applause so far. You want to know the biggest applause as we're following this rally here? It's for the damn wall. So here's the giant takeaway. I always try to take this last segment and sum everything up. The only thing that Trump can really screw the pooch on is not following through on his core campaign promises. He did not get elected because people love him, although that's part of it. He got elected because he made uncomfortable promises about illegal immigration, about the wall, about some other things. But specifically, let's talk about the wall because it's getting the biggest applause. People want it. People want a protected border. People see the murdering and the horrible stuff that's going on in Mexico, and they don't want it. I've told you, you know, what did I tell when I did the show for Mexico City? Remember that? My first impressions. Every time I love Mexico. I love Mexico City. I'm going right in. What do you see? The first thing you see, a bunch of very wealthy people with enormous 25-foot walls around their compounds. The same people complaining that Trump is a racist a-hole because he wants to build a wall around our compound. The only thing that Trump can do to mess this thing up, to not get reelected, is to not follow through on his promises. And so to the extent that Congress wants to obstruct this president's agenda, you're only giving him a foil. You're only and I think in many respects these congressmen are going to seal their own fate. So Flake wants to obstruct the president. If Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan and all these other rhinos want to obstruct Trump, fine, but do it at your own peril. Because Trump has followers who are fired up, who want this done. And these, what they want done, immigration, border control, they want, I mean, this issue isn't going away. You're not going to get rid of Trump and have this issue disappear. It's still going to be there, with or without him. All right, have a great night. Tomorrow night, 7 p.m., I'll be back. See you then.
Talk Radio. 790.
KABC.